Seattle deputy hearing examiner. Today is Tuesday, May 18th, about 2:15, something like that. I think there was a little bit of confusion on our end. Mr. Bansal is not available, so I am just jumping in. I am not familiar with the case. I understand it's matters MUP 21-016 and 017. The two matters have been consolidated. I assume the purpose of today's call is to establish pre-hearing deadlines, but I'd like, if I could go ahead and have the parties introduce themselves first.
This is Michael Houston on behalf of SDCI.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Houston.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Margaret Boyle representing the last 6,000.
Can you spell your last name, please?
Sure. It's B-O-Y-L-E.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'm Edward Coulson representing the appellants in 016.
In 016. Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. Coulson.
And I'm appearing, by the way, as pro se as one of the appellants, though I am a of counsel, mostly retired lawyer.
Okay.
And this is Courtney Kaler representing the applicant.
Okay. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. So I just wanted to confirm that my understanding is correct. The purpose of today's pre-hearing conference, and I'll consult with Mr. Bansal afterward in case there's any adjustments that need to be made, but in just for purposes of efficiency, I think it's best to proceed. But my understanding is that we need to establish pre-hearing deadlines and a hearing date with this conference. Are there any other matters that we should address this afternoon? I would like to point out, too, just before I forget, that there are mediation services available. I don't know if the parties have consulted about settlement and so forth, so I'd like to hear from the parties on that as well. There are resources with, for example, the King County Dispute Resolution Services, so those are available if the parties wish to go down that road and are amenable to settling any or all of the issues.
I think as this goes forward, I think that the parties obviously can talk about ADR, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Well, let the office know if mediation services are requested or if any or all of the issues are settled.
I imagine that if mediation goes forward, that it'd likely be privately arranged.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I would suggest that, yeah, I think the appellants I'm the representative for would agree to participate in it. I like the King County Dispute Resolution Service because of their price. I don't know how the applicant feels about that.
Yeah, no, their services are typically free of charge. So, and there is some funding in the examiner's office to support the planner and their time there. So, just a note for the parties on that.
Well, Ms. Examiner, this is Courtney Kaler. We haven't previously discussed this. The parties have not, but it sounds like something we should discuss offline. And if it sounds like that is something that all the parties agree to, then obviously we'll let the examiner's office know.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. So I think probably for the first pre-hearing deadlines, we're looking at the parties' witness and exhibit disclosures. What I started doing is having the department just go ahead and file not the entire record, but just the documents within the record that are relevant to the appeal, and that way we don't have duplicates from the other parties. Mr. Houston, would that work for you to just file the relevant documents within the record for the city and do that up front, maybe within a couple weeks?
Sure, yeah. I know with this one, as with a lot of MUPs, there are quite a few documents in the file, including a number of public comments, but I think that would be fine with the department.
Yeah, and it should be a truncated record, and by that, just those documents that are relevant to the issues that have been raised in the appeal. So not sure. The entirety of it. Would 2 weeks work for a list of the documents within the record and then provide any of the documents that the parties don't already have?
Ms. Examiner, this is Courtney Kaler again. Yeah. The applicant does anticipate a motion for partial dismissal.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
On a number of the issues. So okay. If we can work that into the schedule.
Yeah, and actually, that's I'm glad you brought that up, because that probably would go before the record is filed. When would your time frame for that be?
I think we would be a couple of weeks out on that.
Okay, so today is the 18th. Is June 1st, is that too early?
Sorry, I'm just pulling up my calendar to see exactly how long that does give us. I think we can do June 1st.
Okay. All right. Well, I can set June. Why don't we tell you what, give you another day or two, June 3rd maybe. And just on the dismissal motions, you know, if it's a clear jurisdictional issue, that makes sense. If there are a lot of disputed facts in it, that gets more difficult. But you're familiar with that. So, okay, so June 3rd for those substantive pre-hearing motions. And then following that, I think, Mr. Houston, then we would the response. How much time do the parties need for a response on that? A couple weeks, maybe June 17?
That's fine with us, assuming that we have to respond.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it really just depends, as you probably know, you're on what issues are raised.
Yeah.
If it's limited, as it should be, I think a couple weeks would be fine.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and set June 17th then. And then, Ms. Kaler, would you like a reply on that?
We would. Thank you.
Okay. Probably a week then, maybe June 24th on the reply. Okay. And then I will, I think the hearing examiner rules provide for 20 days, but I'll get it out earlier than that decision on the preliminary motion. So should we look at filing the record maybe July 8th? Would that work for the parties? And really, Mr. Houston, I'm looking to you on that.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay. So July 8th, the record. And that would be informed by the decision. I don't know if it'll change the issues or not that are before the examiner, because I haven't seen that. I'm not familiar with the case. But so July 8th on the record. And then we should probably set the deadline for the party's witness and exhibits list, which would probably be a week from that, maybe July 15th. Does that work for the parties?
Ms. Examiner, we request that appellant's witness and exhibit list be filed first, and then respondent's witness and exhibit list a week or two later, so that, because obviously our witnesses and exhibits will be entirely dependent on what it is that appellants are presenting.
Yeah, that might be most efficient. Do the appellants have any concerns with that?
Well, sure. Could we have an opportunity to supplement our witnesses?
Yeah, I can provide a rebuttal deadline on that. Sure. So
yeah, that's great. I mean, as long as there's supplementation allowed,
I'll put a rebuttal.
But Ted may. I don't want to speak for Ted.
All the appellants would have. I mean, it'd fight all the appellants. The rebuttal deadline. So why don't we set? So July 8th is the record. July 15th is appellant's witness and exhibit list. A week later for applicant city, July 22, does that work?
That does.
Okay. And then, so a rebuttal deadline then for the appellants, July 29, a week later. Any concerns with that?
Commissioner Krubin, I had a quick question on filing the entire record. I wasn't clear. Is the entire record going to be filed, or is it going to be gone through by Mr. Houston or Huston beforehand?
Yeah, so it won't be the entirety of the record, because I don't want any documents that are not relevant to the issues that are actually before me. So it will be and the parties can add to that. If they see a document that's from the record that should be in there, just put it on your witness and exhibit list. And the reason I have the record filed up front is because a lot of times, a lot of the documents the parties are relying anyway are in that record. If, in fact, most of them typically are, so it makes it for a little bit efficient. But if you see a document that should be in there and you want, go ahead and submit it. The rules of evidence are a little more lenient, you know, in these hearing examiner proceedings. So occasionally there are objections to various documents, but certainly almost always the documents that have been before the city always come in. So does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right. So we have a rebuttal exhibit witness exhibit and witness list deadline July 29. And then we have the pre-hearing motion deadline. Any other deadlines that we need to establish before we set a hearing date?
We have a discovery deadline, Judge.
So usually, if you all can coordinate on that, usually the examiner's office does not get involved. Sometimes we do if there's a dispute on that. I assume the parties can coordinate and exchange the necessary documents. So usually I do not set any sort of discovery line, but yeah, please work as efficiently as possible to make sure you all have all the documents you need from each other that's relevant to the appeal issues, which will be coming before me.
Thanks, Judge.
Yeah. So if we're looking at July 29 as the last deadline, so we're probably looking at an August hearing. And just a caveat here, I didn't have the opportunity to just double check everything on the calendar, although I think I'm kind of familiar with where it is. So I'll check back with the parties if we work out a hearing date that isn't on the calendar, although I think Mr. Edlin Cho can see the electronic calendar from where he is. So we should be able to sort this. What is the party availability week of August 9 and 16? Looks like they're hearing on the 16th and 17th, so those wouldn't be available. But I think, yeah, then August 18 and 19 would probably be available. I'm thinking this might be a two-day hearing, and again, I haven't looked at the issues, but so should we reserve 2 days for this?
Ms. Taylor, I think it depends on what issues survive a motion to dismiss, but I would reserve additional days. I would reserve 3 or 4, given the items that have been identified, the issues that have been identified.
Okay.
And I, unfortunately, am out. For the applicant, we do not have availability the week of the 9th, nor the, I believe you mentioned the 18th. We do have availability starting on the 19th.
Okay. So let's see. August 19, Monday the 23rd, 25th, 30th, 31, September 1. And I went a little bit further than the days we'll need. And I'm wondering, actually, it might be better if we start maybe on the 23rd rather than have too much delay between everything. Maybe there's the 23rd, 25th, and Mr. Edlin Cho, if you can kind of track along with me and let me know if there are any days that aren't available, for the hearing room's not available. 23, 25, 26, only a half day would be open, so then 30. 31, September 1. What is the party's availability for those hearing days?
This is Ted Coulson. Those are all available.
Okay.
They're all available for the city.
Okay.
Yeah, if we could finish in that time, that also works for the last 6,000. Yes.
And for the applicant, we are available the 19th, the 23rd, the 25th and the 31st and the 1st, except that one of my witnesses is only available the first 3 days. So if we can, if that witness is necessary, if we can accommodate that witness on that schedule, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, so it sounds like 23, 25, and 31, those 3 days are available for all parties. And would address that particular witness's availability. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
We do have a full day of hearing on the 31st of August.
Okay, so it looks like the 31st of August is, in fact, not available. That moves us, with the September 1st, would that work?
The 1st and the 2nd are also.
Oh, the 1st and the 2nd are also, okay. And Ms. Kaler, you said the 30th you were not available. Did I hear you correct on that?
We are not available the 30th, but if we were to start, I know it's a little awkward, but if we were to start on the 19th, we could get then 4 days in, the 19th, 23rd, 25th, and, oh, no, we couldn't get the 30th in, apologies. We are not available the 30th.
Okay. Are the parties available? See, 3 days, 19, 23, 25, that I should be sufficient. Are the parties available on the 19th?
Yes.
It sounds like there you all
yeah,
are.
Yes. The lot 6000 is available, Your Honor.
Okay. So let's go ahead and schedule for August 19, 23, and 25. As I noted earlier, I'll need to consult with Mr. Vance. I'll make sure those are okay. I'll do that as soon as possible after today's pre-hearing conference. But I think that should be fine. You know, I didn't check on here. Is there a CEQA appeal that's part of this or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Examiner, I would just want to make sure that we have sufficient days set aside so that we don't end up at the last day of hearing and have to find another day. I don't have a sense of the number of experts or lay people that the appellants intend to call at this point in time, which is usually how I'd evaluate the length of the hearing.
Okay. So is September 1 available to the parties? Mr. Lindstrom, I can't remember if you told me that was available or not.
The 1st and 2nd of September are reserved.
Are reserved. Okay. What about September 7 or 8?
Both 7 and 8 are part
of. Those are either. Okay. Are the parties available on September 7 or 8? Just in case. I really hope we don't go 4 days on this. So I urge efficiency.
The Magnolia Group is available on those 2 days.
Okay.
Yes, I can get that date available, because I think a 4th day in the pocket is a good idea.
Okay.
The applicant's available.
Okay, so yeah. Why don't we set September 8th a little better for me, so why don't we just set September 8th, and I'm really hoping that we don't need that the 3 days are sufficient. So 19, 23, 25, and September 8th. I don't like to have it that kind of spread out, but I think we're going to have to do it that way to get this addressed. Let's see. Okay, are there any other deadlines that we need to establish?
Not for the Magnolia Group, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. All right, and just, you know, one thing I should note, just for fair disclosure, I think Mr. Colson and I overlapped like about 10 years ago at Foster Pepper. We were in different groups. I think you were in the litigation group, as I recall. I was in the land use group. I don't think that affects my impartiality or ability to hear the matter, but I did want to put that on the record in case there are any questions from any of the parties on that.
Commissioner Drummond, I mean, Commissioner Vancell's the hearing officer, that's correct, right?
You know, I looked on there just before I came into the hearing room, and there was not an assigned examiner, so I do not know who will end up hearing this matter.
Well, I agree with you, Your Honor.
Okay.
Pretty big firm.
It's changed names, and it was a while ago now, but I don't know how big it is now, but it was, I think over about 100 attorneys back then, so.
Yeah, whole different floor.
yeah, we were on different floors. All right. So unless there are any concerns or objections from the parties, then, and I'll confer with Mr. Vancell on how he wants to handle this. I don't know whether I will be assigned or if it will be Mr. Vancell. I think originally it was Mr. Vancell's case, but there's no one on there. So, and I apologies for the delay on getting today's hearing started. All right. Any other questions, concerns from the parties?
None from the Magnolia Group, thank you, Your Honor.
Okay.
None here, Your Honor.
Okay.
And Ms. Examiner, I believe under the COVID rules, this is automatic, but I do just want to double check that all the parties consent to service by email.
Oh, yeah, I should double check on that. We've typically been doing email service. I assume all the parties are fine with that.
Magnolia appellants consent.
Okay. All right. Any objections from anyone on that?
None from the last 6,000, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. And then I should note as well, of course, the hearing will be held remotely. Typically, Ms. Radlin Shaw will do a kind of a system test with witnesses and so forth. Do any of the parties have any questions on the remote nature of the hearing? And Ms. Radlin Shaw, if you've got have procedural questions on that, you can always come check in with him on that. Okay. Doesn't sound like there are any questions at this point. So I think with that, unless the parties have other questions, we've addressed what we need to address this afternoon. Mr. Edlin Show, is there anything else that we need to address this afternoon?
No.
Okay. All right. A pre-hearing order will be out within a few days that reflects this afternoon's discussion. Thank you for your participation today.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.